of a brand new decade, 2020. I wonder, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder sometimes if after coming through the Christmas holiday season, if any of you maybe took a look at some of the grass under the snow on the other side of the fence, if you know what I mean. Maybe during this holiday season of hustle and bustle, you looked over at somebody else's life and you saw what it seemed to be that they have, how it seems to be that it's going. And, you know, you kind of compared how things have been for the last little while in your own life. Maybe you even looked at some of the lives of those who don't know God. And you looked at where they live and at how life seems to be, and you just kind of said under your breath, maybe, must be nice to live in that place, must be nice to have that stuff, must be nice to have a life of ease, must be nice to have no problems that I'm facing. Well, if you ever did that, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll raise both of mine for you, because sometimes I've done that. And I don't really feel so bad or so sinful or so much on Santa's naughty list, because so did Asaph. Asaph, a psalm writer who loved the Lord and who knew the Lord, he kind of got his eyes off of God and looked at those things that are temporal. Those things that are down here, those things that the Bible says are fading away. This is what he said. I envied the proud when I saw the prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everybody else. Oh, they wear pride like a jeweled necklace, and they clothe themselves with cruelty. They scoff and they speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. You know, I like that Asaph was only thinking these things. He didn't speak them out. This is what he says later. If I had really spoken this way to others, if I'd kind of let people know what I was feeling inside of my heart, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Everybody say, then I went. Say it again. Then I went. And one more time. Then I went. He said, then I went to your sanctuary, O God. You're in the right place at the right time. Not that any of you would ever have any kind of a thought like that. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God. And I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path, and you send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at the dreams in the morning. Oh, we're going to be talking about a new heart today. Then I realized my heart was bitter, he said. And I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, Lord. Yet, I still belong to you. You're right, Pastor Jason. We don't have to put on our best foot today because God knows exactly what we're going through. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. If that makes you glad, would you say amen? Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, it is good for me to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone of the wonderful things you do. Would you pray with me, please? these. Heavenly Father, oh my goodness, you've placed us in the land of the living. You've placed us in the land of abundance. And here we are at the beginning of a brand new decade, the first Lord's Day, the first Sunday of January 2020. Father, draw near to us as we draw near to you. I thank you for every person that's in the house this Sunday. I thank you for every family that's represented. And I just pray, Father, your abundance and your grace and your glory, both on us and in us and through us, for the greater glory of Jesus Christ, the one who came and died and rose again to give us eternal life. And the church said, can we give the Lord a hand? Because he is great and he is mighty and he is worthy to be praised this Lord's Day. God bless you. You may be seated. Welcome to Spa for Life, as Pastor Karsten already did welcome you, and it's so good to see you all. Want you to know, if you had your picture taken, good news, the directories are here. So for everyone who had their picture taken, your directory is available. You can pick that up at the Welcome Center. You already heard from Pastor Karsten. We're signing up for some new life groups. And here we are. It's the very first Sunday of a brand new decade, 2020. And what an excellent way for us to begin every new year in a week of prayer. Now, just before I talk about our week of prayer, I'd like to talk to you about the offering this morning. How many of you were with us on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve candlelight service? You might remember on Christmas Eve that we took up a special offering for those who are in Zimbabwe. I'll tell you something, it's great when the church can step alongside of the Canadian government and really thank the government for what they're doing, and we did that on that Christmas Eve as we took up that special offering. I want to thank all of you that gave in that offering, and I wasn't really planning on doing that this first Sunday, but in a moment I'll explain why I want to, and you can consider this as I'm talking about some other things. We raised just over $3,000 on Christmas Eve, and those $3,000 are going to be matched 4-1, so there's going to be another $12,000 that goes into that. But today, how many of you saw the state of Zimbabwe on the national news last night? Did anybody catch that? On the national news last night, our national news, they were letting us know that the state of Zimbabwe is in such a serious drought. And this is a land that used to be a breadbasket, used to be a provider, but they're in such serious drought that unless there is a great influx of food by the end of February, many people are going to die. To tell you the truth, I can't even picture that. Okay, I can't even picture, like, just all of us in Edmonton dying because there's no food. Can you? And so I of course, have prepared my tithe. The beginning of a new year, I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet learned the obedience of tithing, that first 10%, if you attend this church, put that into the general fund. God said, if you bring the tithe into the Lord's house, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not be able to contain it. Blessing that will overflow in your lives. So I've already prepared my tithe. I've also prepared our missions offering. I want to thank you, every one of you that have been so faithful in 2019. And you can see in our bulletin where we finished in 2019, both in our general fund, over $1 million, almost 1.1, and over $300,000 committed to missions, not building our own kingdom, but building the kingdom of heaven all over the earth. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness. So I prepared my missions offering, but really, after I heard about this crisis in Zimbabwe, and I thought to myself, here's what the Bible says to you, Doug. If you have food and clothing, you should be content. As I look out, I think we all have food and clothing. And so I want to give you the opportunity, as I'm talking about our week of prayer, if you would like to give to Erdo, which I also did, just specify Erdo. So where it says designated offering, just put the amount that you'd like to give and specify Erdo. It is Mission Sunday, so we're giving our, so don't make it part of your tithe or part of your regular missions offering, but if you have something extra that you can give to Erdo for these people who are literally starving because they have no food, whatever comes in today for Erdo, 100% of that is going to go to Erdo. That stands for Emergency Relief and Development Overseas. It's our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada relief arm. And here's the great news. What happens to our Erdo folks is that there's people on the ground that distribute this food that know Jesus. And so not only do people get food, they also, in relationship, find Christ. And so thanks for considering that. We'll take up the tithes and offerings and this Erdo offering in just a moment. But I want to just commend again this congregation for how we always start the new year. And there's no mix tonight at 6, but starting tomorrow, we're going to start our Spa Week of Prayer. And we're going to be, for the first 4 days, focusing on the question that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. So Monday night, I'm going to be focusing on holiness as unto the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Tuesday night, Pastor Carson and Pastor Kyle are going to be focusing on doing God's will. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wednesday, Pastor Jason is going to be focusing on living in provision and forgiveness. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And Thursday, Pastor Sue is going to be talking about walking in victory. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the week of prayer, great way to start the new year. Here it is, 2020. What does that say to you? I'll tell you what it says to me. Our annual report will be called Perfect Vision. Not that we're perfect, but that's what we're shooting for. So what's the vision that God has for our lives in 2020? 2020 also talks to me about what are the things that we want to double down on, like 2020. What are the things we want to continue to do? What are the things we want to be proficient in? Certainly prayer is primary in that. Now, how many of you have ever seen the convenience store 7-Eleven? Anyone ever seen that? Okay, every time this week that you see 7-Eleven, I want you to think 11-7. Everybody say it? Because Friday is going to be our 11-7. And I'm so thankful there's over 80 people that come to intercede all night long. Now, you might say, well, why would you pray all night long? Well, because it's in the Bible. Do you know that Jesus would often withdraw for prayer all night long? And this is what we've done, and we have, as I've said, over 80 people that are committed to do this. So I'd like to encourage you, if you can attend a part or all of our 11-7, I'm going to start at 11 to 12, what will distinguish our lives in 2020. Pastor Jason from 12 to 1 is going to talk about the heart of worship. Dr. Lillian Douglas from 1 to 2 a.m. is going to talk about trust God and triumph. Pastor Sue is going to talk about something interesting. What's the church all about? Is the church all about serve us? Would everyone please say that with me? Serve us? Is that what the church is about? Serve us? Or is it about service? Serve us or service? Pastor Sue from 2 to 3. From 3 to 4, Pastor Kyle is going to talk about grow, where we intercede for our students, God's best on their lives. Pastor Carson from 4 to 5 is going to talk about elevate our expectations. Lloyd and Margaret Johnson are going to pray for our outreach, loving God and leading people to the living Lord, and include our missionaries during that time. And then finally, from 6 to 7 a.m., I'm going to do what we do every Saturday morning from 8 until 9, which is pray for the Lord's Day, and we'll be starting that a week after our 11-7. And so I want to encourage you, if you are here and you would like to participate in that time of prayer, we would love to see you there. Already mentioned the International Dessert Buffet. We're not having a mix tonight, but this is how we're kicking off our mix with our International Dessert Buffet, and this is how I feel about it. You can only get this at SPA. You can only get this at Southside Pentecostal Assembly. Does anybody like dessert? Does anybody know how to prepare dessert? All right, so what we want you to do is bring the dessert from your nation. Let us know that you're coming and how many people are coming. This is next Sunday, so help us to prepare. Fill this out and put it in the offering plate as the offering plate goes by. I'm going to call our ushering team to come. We're going to wait on you for the Lord's tithe, for your offerings, and for this special Erdo offering on this Lord's Day. Let's pray before we give. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have given much. I think of your word that simply says this: to whom much is given, much is required. So Lord, let us be faithful. And I want to thank you that as we plant these seeds of faith, that you will raise up a harvest of righteousness, both in us and through us, for the glory of Jesus. And everyone said together, thank you so much for your generosity this morning. Thank you. so much for your faithful giving this morning. And you can follow along on our insert as we are beginning a brand new year. We are walking into a brand new series, and we're going to be speaking this morning about a brand new heart. So take out your insert and follow along, and I'd like you to listen to this prophecy that is in the book of Ezekiel. And I will give you a new heart. This is God speaking. And I'd like you to notice just how personal this is. God is saying, I will give you a new heart. And he goes on to say, and I will put a new spirit in you. So God is saying this to you, I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. Now, this promise, this prophecy in Ezekiel is for the children of God. It is for the people of Israel. And God is eventually going to do this to his people, Israel. But this prophecy is also messianic. This prophecy is also concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to read this once again, but as I read it this time, I'd like you to read it with me, please. But as you're reading it with me, I would like you to take it personally. This is something that God says that he's going to do in you and for you. Let's read it out loud together. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Wow, I'll tell you something. On the first Sunday of 2020, in a year of perfect vision, in a year when we're wondering, God, what things should we be doubling down on? This is something that we want to take attention on because this is the beginning, friends. Christianity, thank God, is not a, it's not a religion. It's not, thank God, a list of do's and don'ts where somehow I need to try to pull up my spiritual socks to make myself better for God. But Christianity separates itself from every other thing that claims to be a true religion in that God sent his son to earth. God sent his son to die for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the whole world. And this is what God does when we come to him. I'd like you to stand again, please, and I'd like to read this once again with you, this scripture, and I want you to take it personally because this is where God begins his work. If we had time today, if we had hours, I could begin to ask every one of you who've been forgiven of your sins where and when it was that you received Jesus Christ, and you would be able to tell me where and when that was. If you're here on this Sunday morning and you can't do that, you're saying, Pastor Doug, I can't honestly tell you of a time where and when I received Jesus Christ. I've got great news for you. You can do that today because this is what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. So again, I want you to read it, but I want you to read it hearing God speaking to you. Let's read it together. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Now, this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you just to look at the screen and read through it mentally and apply it to your own life. Okay, would you read that just mentally, not out loud? And just lastly, would you let me read it? And I'm going to read it over your life. This is what God wants to do for you. And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the coming of Messiah. I thank you on this first Sunday of a brand new decade that this is exactly what you want to give to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we begin to look at this series of brand new, I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, teacher, that you would come and that you would awaken in us those works that you have for us to do. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, please be seated. And you can follow along on your insert in your bulletin. As we're thinking about a brand new heart, I'd like us to begin by considering what the old heart was like. What was the old heart like? And this is important for us to do as Christians, as those who have received a new heart, because here's the reality. Now that we have this new heart, the old heart wants to keep coming back. The old attitudes want to keep cropping up. The old ways of thinking and doing and as we read in that Psalm of Asaph today, the old ways of looking and understanding, they want to still crop up and be those things that rule us. And so I want to begin by reminding us of what our old hearts looked like. First of all, your new heart is not stony. Your new heart that God has given to you is not stony. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out. Everybody please say, take out. Again, take out. And one more time, take out. I mean, this is a work that God does. I will take out your stony heart. Now, all of us who are in this room this morning understand, you know, if you look at look at this part of your hand here. Close your fist and just look at this. That's about the size of your heart. And you understand that if your heart stops beating, you're dead. And I love this graphic. It talks about what God did. That's what our heart was like. It was stony, it was hard. And God took it out and he gave us a heart of flesh. He gave us a new heart. He gave us a new spirit. And yet, as we walk down here on earth, this hard-heartedness keeps wanting to come back. This hard-heartedness keeps wanting to invade that which God has done radical surgery on through his spirit. And so how can we ensure that our heart doesn't get hard again? Well, first of all, you need to guard your heart from complaint. Guard your heart from complaint. I've so enjoyed, as I always did when my dad was alive, I've so enjoyed having my mom here over the holiday season, and mom is here for another couple of weeks. She'll be here till the 14th of January, and we're just reveling in that because we don't get to spend a lot of time together. And this is a picture from my mom and dad's 60th wedding anniversary. They had the privilege of celebrating 50 years, and we had a party for that, and then we had a smaller party at their 60th. And this is a photo from that 60th. And I would talk to my dad, just as I talk to mom pretty much every day when they're in Sudbury, because I can't see them, but I call them on the phone. So I would talk to my dad every day. And after his 60th anniversary, when my dad had bladder cancer, he had a very serious surgery that he went through, and the doctors actually didn't think that he was going to make it. I actually didn't think he was going to make it. I remember saying to Wanda, as I went down when my dad was having this radical radiation, I was there for the week, and I said, hey, honey, maybe you should take a week of vacation next week if you want to see my dad again. That's what I said. Not that I was trying to be, but I mean, I was just looking at the way it looked. Well, the doctor didn't think he was going to make it. The son, the preacher, wasn't sure he was going to make it, but God had other plans. My dad did make it, and praise God, he had 3 years of his life after. If you don't want your stony heart to come back to you, you'd better guard your heart from complaint. This is what the Bible says. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah. They did at Massah in the wilderness. You know what the children of Israel did? Those children whom God was delivering from bondage, taking out of slavery. They had seen his miracles. They had seen the signs. They had seen the partings of waters. They had seen all manners of things that had protected them. They'd seen the work of God in their lives. But they came to a test. And on this test, this is what they said to their leader, Moses. Why did you bring us in this desert to die? We have nothing to drink. There's no water. We're thirsty. We're hungry. You know, what's wrong with you? And the truth is, they weren't actually complaining against Moses at all. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, God said. And the truth is, Christians, that when we complain about our status in life, when we perhaps at those times when we're tempted to look at the grass that's on the other side of the fence that's under the snow of other people's lives and think how nice it must be to be in their shoes, we're not complaining at all to anyone except God who loves us. and God who provides for us. And so if we want our hearts not to become stony, we need to guard our hearts from complaint. And for those 3 years after my dad had that radical radiation, I think it was about 3 months, he couldn't be at home. He had to go into a rehab hospital like the Glen Rose, where he had to learn to walk again. And I would still talk to him while he was in the Glen Rose. How are you doing, Dad? I'm doing okay. But then, you know, I think it was about after 3 or 4 months, he came back home. And when I would talk to him at home every day, I'd say, Dad, how are you doing? I'm doing good, son. How are you doing? The Leafs are playing tonight, and they're playing the Oilers, and I hope the Leafs win, he'd say. You know, and here's the thing. In those three extra years that God gave to my dad, I mean, he wasn't a complainer when he was healthy and when things were going relatively well. But he wasn't a complainer for those over 3 years that God graced to his life. And to tell you the truth, I think my dad had a lot to complain about. He couldn't hunt anymore. He couldn't fish anymore. He couldn't go to our camp anymore. I had to go to camp without him. He had to have a nurse come in 3 times a week and clean him. But you know what I never heard my father do? And I'm just being honest. I never heard my dad complain. If you don't want your heart to be stony, Christian, guard your heart from complaint. Because do you know what complaining does? Griping only leads to confusion. Now, this is a good tip on this first Sunday of the new year for anybody that's married and your spouse is still alive. If that's you, put your hand up. You're married and your spouse is still living. Okay. The ones that are married that I see you sitting, I want to talk to you after because you didn't put your hand up. I'm wondering if all is well. But here's what I've learned. Here's what I've learned as a husband. When there are times that I might want to say something to my wife, when there are times that I might have something inside, an opinion that I feel that would be expressing itself through my mouth in words that will live and go into her ears and her mind, and those words are not complimentary, I've learned that if I voice those kinds of complaints, they come back double at me. And it's the same with God. Griping only leads to confusion. When you gripe about what you don't have and what you wish it was like, and when you gripe about what you get to do, I mean, if you gripe about your job, do you know how blessed you are today in 2020 to have a job? You gripe about the boss and you gripe about the hours and you... Listen, griping only leads to confusion. And here's what it's like when you gripe. For the hearts of these people are hardened. Their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes, and they can't see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Do you know what happens, Christians, when we gripe and when we complain? God can't do his healing work in us and through us as he wants to. That word gripe, it means seizure, grip, oppression, affliction. It means pinching distress. And so if you've been griping and complaining about something and you're a Christian, I'm glad you came today because you can root it out right in this place, right now, in the name of Jesus. Because it only leads to confusion. See, your new heart is not stony, and it's gratitude that will correct your attitude. When you begin to give thanks, when you thank God that you do have food and you do have clothing and you do have a place to live and you do have a bed to lie down in. And actually God is meeting your needs and God has blessed you with a job and God has blessed you with strength to work. Make sure that your own hearts, you know, some of those scriptures that I was reading just earlier in this message, you were thinking, yeah, but those are not written to believers. Well, this one is. This is coming to you from the book of Hebrews. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. You might say, well, how can a Christian's heart be evil and unbelieving? Well, by letting hardness come back in. Turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. You know, friends, if we ever find ourselves complaining, that's saying something about our hearts to our God. That word warn is an interesting word in the Greek. It's parakaleo, and this is what it means, to call near, to invite, to comfort, to console, to pray. You remember when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, and there was a voice that said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And John saw the Spirit of God descend upon Jesus like a dove. That word parakaleo is used of the Holy Spirit, the one who lives inside of you. And this is his job. So when you circled that word warn in your notes there, when you saw that word warn, it also means this. It means to call near. It means to invite. It means to comfort. It means to console. It means to pray. So your new heart is not stony. Secondly, your new heart is not stubborn. Have you ever been there? I mean, this can happen at any age. Don't talk to me. Talk to the hand. I'm not listening. Nope, talk to the hand. I'm not listening. Your new heart is not stubborn. It is not a stubborn heart that God has given you. You might say, well, stubbornness is in my family line. I'm stubborn. My mother was stubborn. Her father was stubborn. And his mother, it just runs throughout our family line. Well, let's break it right now in the name of Jesus. Because the heart that God gave you is not a stubborn heart. The Bible says in verse 26, it's not a stubborn heart. Well, what are stubborn hearts like? Stubborn hearts are fueled by disbelief. Have you ever met this guy or this girl? You share with this person what God has laid on your heart, and they give you that face? Right. Pie in the sky till you die. Or maybe you've heard this verse from disbelief. It's not in the Bible, but maybe you've heard this. I'll believe it when I... Oh, you did hear it. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's not Bible faith at all, friends. And stubbornness is fueled by disbelief. They were as stubborn as their ancestors. So if you're saying, you know what? Yeah, my ancestors were stubborn, or my ancestors were whatever, angry or gossips or covetous or sexually immoral, that abusive verbal or sexual thing, it runs in our family. Well, guess what? Good news. You don't have a stubborn heart. This is the year and this is the time and this is the place where God can break those things. You're not bound by your ancestors. You're not bound by what went on before you. They were as stubborn as their ancestors who refused to believe in the Lord their God. And biblical faith is not this, I'll believe it when I see it. Biblical faith is believing before you see. That's what Hebrews says the definition of faith is. Faith is the substance of something hoped for, the evidence of something not yet seen. So Christian son of God and Christian daughter of God, this is what I want to say to you on this first Sunday of 2020. What has God placed in your heart? What things is God calling out of your life? What is God telling you to trust him for, to believe him for? Don't come with a spirit of disbelief. Because disbelief leads to stubbornness, and stubbornness leads to stoniness. And God hasn't given you a stony heart or a stubborn heart. And I want you to know what kind of a person I'm going to be in 2020. I'm not going to be a person of disbelief. I'm going to be a person of belief. I want you to know what kind of a pastor I'm going to be in 2020. I'm not going to be a pastor who doesn't believe. I'm going to be a pastor who believes all of the things that God is placing in my heart for me to do for his grace and for his greater glory. You see, stubbornness is fueled by disbelief. Stubbornness is fostered by disobedience. You see, the Bible says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and God sets us free from bondage. But when we disobey God, when we knowingly disobey the Lord, when we say, well, I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it, and then I'll ask God to forgive me after I do it because I like doing it. When we do that as Christians, when we disobey what God has clearly instructed us not to do, what he has set us free from, we put ourselves in chains rather than being set free. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. If I could say one thing to you Christian brothers and sisters on this first Sunday of 2020, it would be this: pay attention to God's commands. Pay attention to them. When you pay attention to God's commands, it gives you life. When you pay attention to God's commands, his smile is on your heart. And his commands, like, they can be very seemingly small or seemingly insignificant things. You could just be going about your day, and you have this thought, call Bill. You weren't thinking about Bill, but you just have this thought, call Bill. And you have this mental exercise. I haven't called Bill in a long time, and I haven't seen Bill at church for a while, and I don't even know Bill that well. I don't think I'll... No, no, no. Listen. Just listen to the... When you have a good thought in your mind that all of a sudden, it just comes to your mind. Do you want me to tell you where that thought's coming from? It's coming from God. It's coming from God to you. And so you know what you need to do? Just call Bill. And you might think, if you made that decision, okay, I'm going to call Bill. I don't even know Bill's number. Oh, but I have it in... It's in the church directory. Oh, did I tell you, by the way? Your church directory is already. It's in the church directory. I'm not talking about Bill. Don't go looking for Bill. So you look up Bill's number, and then the next thing is, as you're dialing the phone, you're thinking, what will I say? I'll tell you what to say. Hey, Bill, I haven't seen you in a while. You know what? I was just thinking about you. God bless you. I wanted to know how you were doing. Could we get together for a coffee? I mean, it could be something small. It could be something bigger. Maybe it's Julia. You know who Julia is? She's the sister-in-law that you're not going to talk to until she calls you. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You don't even have to wait for God to put the thought in your mind as a Christian to call Julia. You don't have to wait. I'm telling you, it's the will of God for you to call Julia. And you're saying, now, Pastor, I don't like your preaching. It's okay. It's the will of God for you to be reconciling people. It's the will of God for you. I think in our Lord's Prayer that we're studying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you might be familiar with this phrase, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who... So you know what? Call Julia. I don't know who that is, but you do. You want to know what your to-do list is after you leave the sermon? Call Julia. Pay careful attention to his commands. I love what Mary said. Hey, this is a good thing on the first Sunday of 2020. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Live in that spot. Live in that place of expectancy that as you walk through your planned out life, that you're going to plan to allow God to direct your steps. And when you have a thought from God, you're just going to do it. Just do it. Because stubborn hearts are fostered by disobedience. They're fueled by disbelief. And the worst thing about stubborn hearts is these finish up with disaster. They finish up with disaster. Has anyone seen the Australian wildfires on TV? I can remember years ago, it was I think in our third year that we were pastoring here at SPA, that we decided as a family to take a trip to the West Coast. And it was kind of scary as we went through Jasper because there was a fire in BC, and I can remember driving our van like through the forest, and there was flames on both sides of the forest. Pretty scary stuff. But I mean, I can't imagine the horror of what we've seen sometimes in these fires in California or what those people are experiencing right now in Australia, where the wind comes up and it's just a ball of fire. It's a ball of flame that simply consumes neighborhoods and animals and everything. It's gone. And that's what stubborn, stony hearts are like. Stubborn, stony hearts finish with disaster. Blessed are those who fear to do wrong. Do you know what, friends? We are living in the last days. I don't know if you remember during this last year, I said to you, the Lord's been laying on my heart that I'm going to preach a couple of weeks on the end times, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I also said, I'm not sure when I'm going to preach on the end times. I don't know if I'll do it in the morning or if I'm going to do it in the evening. Well, now I do know. I'm going to preach a two-week series in February, the first two Sundays in February, on Sunday mornings, on the end times, and I'm not looking forward to it. So would you pray for me? Would you pray that you have ears to hear what the Bible says the end times are like and what God's going to do in the end times? Blessed are those who fear to do wrong. Do you know that we're living in a day that people don't fear to do wrong? We're living in a day that people actually are calling wrong right and right wrong and are parading wrong. Like they're proud of wrong. And if you're not doing wrong, there's something wrong with you. If you don't approve of wrong, you're not right. Listen, blessed are those who fear to do wrong. But the stubborn are headed for serious trouble. Now here's what the gospel tells us in Peter. God isn't willing that anybody should perish. There is a real heaven and a real hell. That's all there is after this life, heaven or hell. Hell was never created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but if you refuse the gift of God, the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose for your salvation, when you die, you will go to hell because you refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not willing, 2 Peter tells us, for anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to have that. And hell, it's not a park for a little while. It's not like where you go and you pay and then you get. No, no, you're there and you're there forever. But even for the Christian, and I don't quite understand this, even for the Christian, we're going to be judged. We won't be judged for our sins, but we're going to be judged for our works. Everybody say works. Listen, God's created you to do good works. That's why he put a new heart in you. And when you stand before God, you're going to be judged for your works. And what's going to happen is that the fire of God's judgment is going to come over your life. And when that fire comes over the lives of Christians, there's going to be some of the works that Christians have done that are going to be refined, like bronze and silver and gold. And when fire comes upon bronze and silver and gold, the impurity goes out, and there's a precious metal that's left over. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there are going to be some Christians who are tested for their works. And when their works are tested, they burn up, just like as if it was that roaring Australian fire. It's like, they burn up because their works were wood and hay and stubble. And it says this about Christians. They'll get into heaven, but only as one is escaping through the flames. I don't even understand that. I just know I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the one that just gets in just as escaping through the flames. I want to be the one that gets in and somehow, by the grace of God, the way that I've conducted myself and lived and spent my life, my time and my talent and my treasure, somehow, by God's grace, he'll refine those things into an eternal reward, because God doesn't want anyone's life to finish up with disaster. So your new heart is not stubborn. Your new heart is not stony. Well, let's consider what your new heart is. Your new heart is soft. It's soft. It's a soft heart. I will give you a tender, responsive heart. Christian, in all of the noise that there is in 2020, this is what you need to listen to. You need to listen to the tender, responsive heart that God has given you. And that's what you're doing right here this morning. You're here. You're here under the sound of God's word, and you're listening to the word of God go forward, and the Holy Spirit is saying, yes. Yes, and building you up. And that's what it does when we come to the house of God with the people of God. You have a soft heart. And that soft heart reminds you that you are a brand new creation. This means if anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, the old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. You see, it's not by pulling up our spiritual bootstraps. It's not by trying to make our good selves gooder. No, no, it's by coming to Christ. It's by saying, Lord, I need you. I fall short of your glory. I am a sinner. Would you please forgive me? Would you come into my life? Would you help me to live for you? Listen, friend, if you haven't done that, you can do that today, this Sunday, January 5. You can simply say yes to Jesus, and you'll wake up today and for all of your tomorrows with this brand new heart within your life. A brand new creation. Your new heart is soft, it's tender, it's responsive. And you know what? Do you know what makes your heart healthy as a brand new creation? Do you know what gives strength to your new heart? You are buoyed up with compassion. You're buoyed up, like you stay afloat and you show yourself to be God's new creation when you have compassion. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Does the scripture say that he comforts us in some? What does it say? He comforts us in all our troubles. Now, friends, your new heart is buoyed up with compassion. This tender, soft, responsive heart is buoyed up with compassion. And do you know what compassion is? It's having a bigger concern than me, myself, and mine. It's a bigger concern than me, my wife, and my kids, and my relatives. It's actually having a world heart. It's having a world vision. The word compassion means your pain in my heart. It's actually on a Sunday where you've probably spent a little bit of money during the holidays and pastor says, hey, do you have anything extra to give to Erdo in Zimbabwe? It's saying, you know what? I'm going to give 50, I'm going to give 100, I'm going to give 1,000, I'm going to give a dollar. It's caring about people that you're never going to see until you see them in heaven. You're buoyed up with compassion. And it's not just so you can be comforted. He comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort others. Do you know someone who's grieving? Do you know someone who's hurting? Do you know someone whose heart is heavy? Have they experienced a loss? Well, it's time to come alongside of them. It's time to say, you know what? I want you to know I've been praying for you. And don't just say it, pray for them. It's time to come alongside with them and encourage them and build them up because your new heart, your soft heart, it's buoyed up with compassion. And you know what happens when your heart is afloat with the grace of God? Do you know what happens when your heart is alive with the grace of God? You bring cheer to every situation. Because it's not about your present situation. It's not about your present circumstance. But it's about this. Your God is greater than your present situation. And your God is greater than your present circumstance. Have you ever seen someone that's going through something hard? I mean hard? And they have joy? How is that? Well, it's because they are focusing on their God. And there's only two kinds of people. There's only the kinds of people that bring life to people or the kinds of people that take away life from people. There's only people who put air in your balloon or people who take air out of your balloon. And do you know what kind of a person I pray that I will be? I pray that if you spend 5 minutes with me at any time in the year of 2020 or any other year that God allows me to be alive, I would pray that out of those 5 minutes, there would be something that I did that put air in your balloon. I pray that I would not be the person who that when you spend 5 minutes with me, I go, and it's like you come out of that and think, man, I just, oh, I'm so glad that's over. God, restore me. I want to be a person that brings cheer to every situation. Do you know why? Because a cheerful heart is like good medicine. You want to bring some joy into the office? Be cheerful. How are you?
I'm all right. Kids got sick over the holidays. Though. How are you?
I mean, bring cheer into the situation. A cheerful heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Now, I want to explain this broken spirit. It's not talking about a broken and contrite spirit. Psalm 51 tells us that the broken and contrite spirit, God, you don't despise. A spirit that says, Lord, I need you. God, I don't have it in myself. Lord, fill me up. Help me to be a blessing. Not a broken and contrite spirit. But a cheerful heart is a good thing. And in fact, it gives you strength when you're cheerful, even when you don't want to be. It takes more muscles to frown. Everybody try and put on a big frown. 1, 2, 3, frown. Than it does to smile. Smile. See, that feels better, and you look so much better. Nehemiah says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength, friends. So you've got a soft heart. And you know what? Your soft heart is built up in communion. Good for you for being here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you got up this morning and said, I don't know if I want to go to church, but I guarantee you this. If you weren't sure and you came anyways, you're going to feel a whole lot better when you leave. Because the new heart that God gave you is built up in communion. It's built up when you come together. It's built up when you don't point fingers, but you say like David, the man after God's own heart, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Does anybody remember the joy that you had when you first came to Jesus? Has it dissipated? Pray this prayer. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And some versions say this, and renew a right spirit within me. But I love the way that the NLT translates it. And make me willing to obey you. That's what a right spirit is. A right spirit is willing to obey God. And so your soft heart is built up in communion. And lastly, your new heart is spirit-led. I'm so thankful that it's not about me telling you, it's Christ in you. I'm so grateful that as a pastor, I don't need to say to people, now you're forgiven. God does that. That's his work. God has said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the work of the Spirit. That's when God puts this new heart in you. Your new heart is spirit-led. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful. Would you circle those two words, be careful? Would you please say it now? Be careful. Be careful to obey my regulations, God said. Your new heart is spirit-led, and the Spirit of the Lord gives you freedom. The Spirit of the Lord gives you freedom. Now, I don't know how many of you living here in Edmonton, Alberta, which is normally a pretty cold place, although this year it's super warm. I don't know how many of you living here in Edmonton, Alberta, have ever, during those months, like January, when it can be minus 40, I don't know how many of you perhaps have ducked down to Phoenix for a while, or maybe to California, or maybe to Hawaii, or maybe to Florida, somewhere where it's warmer. Has anybody ever done that? A few of you. Now, I don't know when you did that, you know, when it was minus 30, minus 40 in Edmonton. Did any of you go out and lie in the sun? Did you do that? Did you like getting that little suntan thing going on? Well, you know what? That's what God does for us, no matter what the temperature is outside. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us, please say all of us. Now, all of us can't go there, but all of us can go here. All of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect. See, that's what happens when you spend time under the sun. You kind of absorb it and you reflect it, right? The sun. But in this absorption of the Son of God, you can't get burned to praise God. But you see, everybody say see, and reflect. Say it again, see, and again, see, and that's it. See and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Christian brother, sister, whether you've been serving the Lord for 1 week, 1 month, 10 years, or 80 years, God is still making you more and more like Jesus, and the Spirit of God gives us freedom. We have freedom. The Spirit of God also grows fruitfulness in our lives. And I love that I don't have to do it, because I can't. I just can't do it. Can I make a confession? Would it be okay just in this private moment that we have? Just when there's the couple of us together? Would it be okay if I make a confession? Douglas Crouse Jr. is not a patient person. There are things that I think should have happened yesterday, no long ago, and I am not patient. I want to know why they haven't taken place. But I'm so glad that I'm not the one that has to somehow pull out my spiritual bootstraps and make myself patient. It's the Spirit of God who grows fruitfulness. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Praise God, I just have to say, I just have to be honest enough, and I was just honest in front of all of you people. I need more patience. I even like the word of the King James for patience. I need to be more long-suffering. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want to tell you what I want to be more of in 2020. I want to be more loving. I want to be more joyful. I want to be more peaceful. I want to be more long-suffering. I want to be kinder and gooder, even though gooder isn't even a word. I want to be more faithful, more gentle, and I want to have more self-control than I had even today and yesterday. And the Holy Spirit grows fruitfulness as you are led by him. And finally, the Spirit of God gifts faithfulness. The Spirit of God gifts faithfulness. You know, I told you about my dad, how for those last 3 years of his life, he didn't complain, even though he had a lot of things to complain about. I want to tell you about my dad's last day. On my dad's last day, he said this 3 times. Jesus, come take me home. Jesus, come take me home. Jesus, come take me home. I didn't get to see my dad, but I did talk to him before he went to be with the Lord. And I'm so glad that the Spirit of God gifts faithfulness, friends. I want to pray this over my life and all of our lives that are hearing this message today, even if you're just hearing it on the web page. You can come any Sunday here, but even if you're just hearing it over the web. I want to pray for my life and for our lives, those of us that have committed our lives to Jesus, that when we either are raptured and we see the Lord, or when our lives end here, that we'll be able to say this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And this prize is not just for me, but for all. Would you please say all? Circle that. It's for you, those of you that God has given a brand new heart to, for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you today. I want to thank you today that you have given us a brand new heart. And first of all, I just want to pray for anybody that might be here. On this first Sunday of 2020, you're here, but you know about Jesus, but you haven't just said yes. And today's the day. Today's the day that you're going to say yes to Christ. Today's the day that you're going to say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, help me to live for you. It's that simple. Today's the day that you're going to believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're going to confess with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I want to pray first of all for anybody that's here and needs to do that on this first Sunday. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can pray with you? I want to see that you, thank you. Somebody else, you're making that commitment today. Just raise your hand high so that I can see it, and I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else, you're saying, today's the day. I'm giving my life to Christ today. Thanks. You can put your hand down in the back there. Anybody else, say, today's the day. Now, here's what you need to pray, just in your heart. You need to pray this in your heart. Just pray, Jesus, I come to you with my life. I come to you with my brokenness. I come to you with my sin, and I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord. I want to make you more Lord of my life. I want to turn from my sin, and I want to turn to you, Lord. Help me to live for you from this day forward. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe you're my Lord and my God. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you prayed that prayer, you need to see Pastor Carson in the foyer today, because one of the life groups is what new believers do. And he is a class that's starting that you'll be able to be a part of, and you'll be discipled and grow healthy with this new heart that God has given to you. The rest of us, I'd like us to stand. And to the God who's given us so much, this is what I'm asking for us to do.